Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Despite not getting a deal done before the deadline, Dak Prescott says he still feels confident about his future in Dallas and all is well. During a conference call yesterday, Dak said, quote, "I grew up wanting to be a Dallas Cowboy and I am. And I've got dreams of being a Dallas Cowboy until I'm done throwing the football. None of that's going to change just because we couldn't reach an agreement there for this season." So, Shannon, I start with you. Do you buy it? Do you think all is really well between Dak and Jerry?
I think Dak is really smart, Skip. He's saying all the right things, not giving any air to this distraction talk. He knows, Skip. The thing about Dak is that he's very mature. Mm-hmm. For someone that's only been an NFL quarterback for 4 years, he understands how a quarterback is perceived. Mm-hmm. And the thing that, and the words that he says carry more weight than probably than someone else on the team. So, but he can't say, "Well, I'm disappointed. I thought we were going to get a deal done and have this," because he knows they're going to ask them all about this, Skip. For the rest of the season, they're going to ask him. And he can't show any sign of any hint of unhappiness. Mm-hmm. So he's doing the right thing. And even if he is unhappy, guess what, Skip? The deadline to get a deal done was past July 15th.
Yep.
So we're talking about it, or being unhappy doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. So he has to put on his best face, put his best foot forward, and says, "Guys, this is where I want to be. I've always wanted to be a Cowboy." I hardly believe, because Taft says it was something, his brother Taz said it was something about the Cowboys he always did like. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to believe somebody in one household, because the thing is, Skip, me, my brother, sister, we like the Steelers. It wasn't, "Well, I like the Cowboys, you like..." We kind of all like the same, pretty much the same team. That kind of how it worked in the household, Skip. But, mm-hmm, you know, but here's the thing. And then Jerry mentioned about the uncertainty around the COVID impact to Jerry's negotiation. Yep. Less than stable time to be talking about generational wealth.
Correct.
Skip, is Jerry Jones really the guy that you want to be talking about generational wealth? Here's the guy that's worth $8 billion. He has a franchise worth $5.5 billion. And he said, "This is not the time to be talking about generational wealth." Of course not, because you got it. Mm. It's kind of like freedom, Skip. Nobody, everybody that's free, they should do this. This is what you should do. But hold on. Remember when you didn't do that and you got here?
Yep.
So it's easy to talk about things that you all of a sudden you're blessed to have. Now somebody else want that. Oh, no, this is not the time. It's never the time to talk about something that you don't want to talk about, Skip. Mm. But I love the way Dak handled this. Dak is very professional. He handled it the right way. I'm not going to give y'all oxygen to let this fire burn out of control and derail my season. Mm. I'm happy to be here. We didn't get it done. We'll try to do this thing again next year. Mm.
Okay. Quick point of order about Jerry Jones. There is this thing in the NFL called the salary cap, and I'm pretty sure it's going to plunge for next year because of COVID and the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Jerry said it's not the time to be talking about long-term contract generational wealth, because it's not there to be had initially. Maybe longer term it will be, and I hope they could someday make a deal. I just am very skeptical that's going to happen. And yet... this is just me. You've been to many training camps.
I've
covered the opening of many more training camps than you went to. And every first day media session,
yep,
it's always, "We love each other." It is always, yep, a new day and a new dawn, and forgive and forget,
yep,
and let the new games begin, and let's start fresh with a blank slate. That's every training camp I've ever been at, even for lousy football teams, mm-hmm, the Bears teams I covered.
Yep.
But they were always, "This is our year." So that's what we got yesterday from both Dak and Jerry.
And then once 3-4 days passed, what happened?
Yeah.
Man, them jokers didn't believe in me.
That is correct. So, again, I'm hoping against hope that this goes north instead of south, but it was going south at the deadline because of that post from Tad, the older brother, who said, I didn't love the Cowboys when I was growing up, and now it's going to be hard to root for the Cowboys, ... And you had to read between the lines because of what they just did to my little brother.
Even though you got a brother, mm-hmm, on the team, mm-hmm, you're going to find it hard to root for a team. Even though they're giving your brother $31.4 million, you're going to find it hard, Skip.
That's what happened.
No.
So here's my issue with what's going forward. Dak Prescott, he handles everything perfectly. He is a high-quality human being. He was born to be the leader of a big franchise, America's team, mm-hmm, and he was born to be the face of that franchise because he's dependable and trustable, mm-hmm, and he's bedrock. He's built on bedrock. And Jerry Jones has said many times he is as mature for his age a football player as I have ever been around. And that, for Jerry, that's saying a lot. So here's my issue with this. Because the deal didn't get done, I don't think Dak is going to be in any comfort zone, and I'm not sure the locker room will be in a comfort zone, and you know how it feels to be, get asked by, repeatedly about someone else's problem, right?
Ooh, yes.
It just wears you out. After a while, everybody else is going to be saying, don't ask me that anymore.
Right.
I don't know. I care, but I don't know. It's not my fight.
Right.
So it could become a draining sort of distraction for the team. But what did I see from Dak Prescott last year? What's his biggest problem? It's a positive negative. Dak, to me, because he was a fourth-round pick who was always trying to overachieve, he tries too hard on occasion. He doesn't just let it flow and stay in rhythm of the game. He tries to make the game happen, force the issue. And you know and I know that can get very dangerous. So he played in a comfort zone for those first three games, but the Hall of Famer across from me dismissed the three first opponents as garbage. And it was the Giants, and then it was at the Redskins, and then it was Miami at home. And he lit them up.
Yes.
All time lit them up, and he looked like a top five quarterback. Right. And his QBR averaged for those first three games, 90 on a scale of 0 to 100, and he was just barely behind Brady and Breeze at that point in QBR. Mm-hmm. And that's when, reportedly, according to Yahoo, that the deal fell completely apart. That's
right.
When Todd France informed Jerry Jones our price that we had sort of verbally agreed on, the ballpark, just went way up. It's in a whole nother echelon. Jerry got mad. They got mad. Do not invite them. They barely communicated the rest of the way. Right. And Dak was playing for a contract.
Right.
He was playing to show Jerry how wrong he was, how much more valuable Dak was that Jerry did not see or accept.
Right.
And what happened over the last 13 games? Pro Football Focus ranked Dak the 15th best quarterback. So he fell back to the middle of the pack. And what happened over the fateful final six games? Not much, because it got ugly and the QBR started to plummet. He averaged 55 QBR for the last six games. Ooh. But remember at New England, you ripped him for that one?
Yeah.
These are all F games.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving against Buffalo, Lord have mercy. Mm. They were the turkey, right?
Yep.
Dak was right in the middle of it. At Chicago on the Thursday night, disaster, debacle.
Yeah.
F, said Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had one nice game against the Rams at home when I thought they had sort of turned it around and figured it back out. He had an 86 QBR, but then here comes at Philly. Sink or swim, do or die. Dak, you're on. No, Dak, you're off with a QBR of 38, and they lost 17-9, and then finished it up with a nice game against Washington. Had a QBR of 64, not great, but that's a shaky finish to what started off as a great year. And I attribute large part this to rising pressure that he's putting on himself. I got to do it. I got to show him, and you're pressing. You're trying too hard to make the perfect throw, and you know what happens when you're out of the flow like that.
Skip, you said the cap is probably going to go down. Now, if the reporting is correct, the floor can't be below 175, 175 million. I think this year it was 198.5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is more? Is 31.4 a greater percentage of 198, or is 38.2 a greater percentage of 175? Because that's what the franchise tag is going to be next year, even at the floor. So the price, if Jerry Jones thought, well, you know what, the price is going to come down, it's not.
Okay, but he wanted upwards of $40 million a year. So Jerry's looking at, I'll take 31.4 and 38-ish, and I can barely live with that, but I can't live with 42 and 42 the first 2 years of a new deal.
It wasn't going to be that, Skip Bayless. You know how this thing works. You won't 5 years. So it's going to cost you $200 million.
Mm.
You know, write us a check at the time of signing for about $90 million. You prorate that $90 over. We'll do the first year, the first 2 years, Skip Bayless, because we like you. Mm. We'll do the first year at about $2 million. We'll do the next year at $5 million. We'll do the next year at $10 million. Mm. How about that, Skip?
Mm.
So basically, it would have been a deal for about $120 million over the first 3 years, but y'all didn't want to do that.
Mm.
You tried to be cheap.
Mm. I don't think they were cheap. I told you They offered him $36 million a year and $80 guaranteed at signing.
I don't want
and
that.
Even Shannon Sharpe said, okay, that's a fair offer.
Fair.
It was fair.
Respectable.
Right. It was decent. It was justifiable on Jerry's part to say, hey, I'm giving you a fair market deal. And Dak is making boku money in endorsements. And plus, the ability to buy into a comfort zone of, okay, I'm established. I got a five-year deal and I don't have to worry about it anymore would be like gold to Dak Prescott.
Generational wealth, that's what we're trying to establish.
Well, he was offered generational
wealth. No, it wasn't. No,
oh, stop
no. It was a lot of strings attached to it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, there were no strings.
Strings.
Attached. $80 million guaranteed up front. That is what's called generational hand-down wealth.
I want my lead little more.
No, you want to cap wrecked.
No, I don't want to wreck
cap.
But it's I want to be able to leave something to my great grands too.
Yeah. Okay.
Dak does always find the right words, though.
Yeah.
He always handles himself with, I was going to say with grace, but I'm stealing that from Jerry Jones right now.
No mercy.
College football continues to gain support for some conferences to have a season this fall. After retweeting Trevor Lawrence's We Want to Play message earlier this week, yesterday, President Donald Trump said he spoke to the Clemson quarterback over the phone about continuing with the football season. Trump also mentioned he spoke to LSU head coach Ed Orgeron. Shannon, what do you make of this as it continues to develop?
President Trump will use college football as a political story. Skip, I thought we weren't doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you and I try to get out of the sports and the political business.
Intersection of sports and politics.
And
we've had a head-on crash again.
And the most powerful political figure in the world drags us back in.
Yep.
Now, Skip Bayless, if I'm not mistaken, around the end of May, the beginning of June, Trevor Lawrence was out there talking about Black Lives Matter. And he said, rational must outweigh the irrational. Justice must outweigh injustice. Mm-hmm. Love must outweigh hate. And if you see yourself in someone else's shoes and you don't like the way that feel, that's when you know things need to change. President Trump didn't call Trevor Lawrence. Why? Because you see why, Skip Bayless?
Oh, back then.
Yeah,
okay.
You know why? No vested interest. He has no interest whatsoever.
Sure.
About Black Lives Matter and the injustices that's being perpetrated against blacks and minorities in America.
Mm-hmm.
But this football thing, because you see, I'm trying to figure out, Skip, how can the doctors in the North not know as much as the doctors in the South?
I don't know.
If you notice,
good question.
If you
or
notice,
the doctors in the West.
If you notice the conferences that are playing, can you tell them, give the people a little indication at home where they reside in?
ACC, SEC.
Let's see, North Carolina come down to Florida, then we start going over Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma. You see a reoccurring theme, Skip? You see that too, huh? Skip, this is not about, they don't care nothing about these kids. Oh, you'll be safe on the football field. So is that the only place you're going to keep them? So are you going to have the instructors come to the football field and give them their lessons? So they're going to eat on the football field. They're not leaving that. Or are they going to go back to the dorm? Or are they going to go to classes? Or when they bring those 50,000 people, students back on campus, and they have parties and they have get-togethers, so are you still feeling safe? Skip, this is what this is about. The reason why we're here, because someone said this was a hoax. This was all about trying to get me not reelected. And they didn't give it the seriousness that it deserved then. So here we are now. And we're still here. We wore a mask. I just saw the sheriff in Florida. He mandated that you can't wear a mask in the sheriff department. And even if you're visiting, you see, we're here because of the path that they chose. And so now you put all this responsibility on kids. You hear the kids. You hear the kids. Skip, when the kids say, well, we need to get paid, shut up and play. Now you want to listen to us, Skip. Now you want to listen to the kids. I thought we weren't listening to them. Oh, their voices need to be heard. Their voices need to be heard when they're saying something you want to hear. If the college kids are saying something you don't want to hear, you don't want to hear what they have to say. And that's all this is about, Skip. Skip, I want them to play, but I want them to be safe. I don't want these kids to have undue pressure, because that's a lot of responsibility that you're heaping on 18 and 20-year-olds. This says, okay, we're going to trot you guys out there to say we want to play, we want to play, when you've never listened to them before. They told you they need stipends. They told you they want their parents to be able to come. And you didn't want to hear that. We are amateurs. We are amateurs. Oh, and now you got Nebraska, Skip, talking about they want to. Well, if the Big Ten don't play, we want to. You criticize kids when it gets too tough. And they say, if it gets too tough, I don't like kids to transfer. And Alabama and now Nebraska want to transfer.
Yep.
This is a mess. Mm. It's a mess. Hopefully they can get it resolved. Some conferences, the Big Ten and the Pac-10, the Pac-12 says, no, we're shutting it down. The MAC has said, we're shutting it down.
Although we do have Michigan and Nebraska saying, we want to play. Find us somewhere to play.
And
we'll
guess
figure
what?
It out.
And when you come back next year, that $40, $50 million that we normally divvy up, you ain't getting it because you played elsewhere. So you got your, so make sure you keep that same energy, Michigan and Nebraska. But Skip, this is a mess. You see what's going on here. Everybody sees what's going on. There's a vested interest from the Gallup at 16 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yep.
And this is what this is all about. He don't care about these kids.
Mm. So here we go again. We're talking political footballs, the cliche. This is a political college football.
Correct.
And the great irony here is it feels like it might become a key campaign platform is I'm for college football and you're not.
Right.
Which is completely bizarre, but a sign of the times that we are stuck in.
Right? Mask.
Correct.
You either, if you pour the mask.
You're a mask or a non-mask.
Thank you.
Okay, I got it. So I don't want to get too political here because I'm no fan of that president, as I've said many times on here, but I'm not as political as you are or as driven as you are against him and it and everything that he stands for. But in this case, I sat back and chuckled and shook my head because that was a shrewd move on his part to call those two, Trevor Lawrence, the best college football, right? He's probably going to go number one in the draft. And he has been outspoken, Trevor has, on Twitter saying we'll be safer in our playing environment than we will be if we don't play at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so our president said, aha, I love that. And Ed Orgeron's obviously the championship coach in the SEC, and they're going to play. Oh, I'll call him too, and I'll laud him as a great coach. There's nothing like this man, okay? Beautiful move because I still believe that, and this is completely unscientific on my part, I believe a majority of this country would like to see college football play.
Right.
I don't know what that number is, and obviously everybody wants the kids to be safe, as you say. But I think there's a gut feeling, there's a rising tide of, wait a second, the NBA is doing great, albeit in a bubble,
yes.
We get that, but they have no positive tests in the bubble.
Right.
And the NFL so far is doing pretty well because they have less than 1% positive tests, they said,
right.
As of now. They have not started running into each other yet.
Hey, what happens when they start going home on a regular basis, Skip, and you go out on a Friday night?
Don't know. I told you, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yeah.
If one man in that locker room says, ah, hell with it. I'm going to the bar. Or I'm going to wherever, whatever's open.
Right.
I'm going to a party. You know and I know outbreaks can happen.
Right.
So it's up to everybody to commit and to be dedicated to the process.
Right.
I think we both agree, because we're part of a process here at Fox, if you do it correctly, you have a pretty good chance of staying safe. I'm going to knock on wood for both of us.
Right.
But you have a pretty good chance if you stop in the hall every chance you get to see the Purell machine and you wipe it down, you know, you just cover yourself in Purell, which we do, you have a chance. If you don't touch your face, you have a chance. So if you learn the rules and the protocol, and then when we leave here, we don't go to the club, we got a chance to be okay. We've been in the studio now for a couple of months, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I agree with the premise of what Trevor is saying, because if you leave the players to their own devices and they don't have anything to do, they're not playing, they're not even practicing, I think they're more likely to go to bad places, to go to dangerous places.
Right.
But if half of their day is spent in that sort of antiseptic bubble that is created within the team confines, where it's structured and it's protected and it's drilled into you, you can't do this and you can't do that and you got to do that. You have a better chance of staying healthy that way. I get that. But my point is that all of a sudden our president is jumping on board trying to drive that bandwagon.
Of course.
Because I think most of us say, gee, can't they figure this out? Because we're seeing the NFL starting to figure it out. The NBA figured it out. They're completely bubbleized.
Right.
We got that.
But Skip, what if he took the same approach in the beginning? And say it's not a hoax. And say mask up. That's how we get, Skip.
That's how we got here. Okay. He's obviously desperate to get reelected. I just thought it was a pretty shrewd move to say, I want to be with all those people out there who want to see college football. Because is college football not akin to baseball? As
Oh, you look for apple pie, you look in the fall, you right? look for football.
You look for
fall football.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm a big NFL guy, but I love college football.
Skip, let me ask you a question. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Clemson plays Notre Dame.
Yep.
Clemson beats Notre Dame. Trevor Lawrence and all the rest of his teammates going straight back to their room and hold up in their dorm. Or are they going to the party with another 15,000 people?
I don't know. I mean, depends. Do you want to do this or not? Do you want to get through it or not?
Skip.
Can you drill it in? They're old enough to get it. They're old enough to understand you just can't do that.
Skip.
Okay?
If that was the case,
all right.
There's a reason why the kids, they're going to – ain't no way. What's the likelihood of – I don't think Texas is playing Oklahoma this year. They probably – so it's a conference game. Skip, so you mean to tell me Texas beat Oklahoma? Them kids at Texas, and they hadn't beat Oklahoma in so long, they're going straight back to their rooms.
I don't know. How enlightened you are. It depends. Do you understand the gravity of this? Do you believe in it? Some people don't even believe it's out there.
Skip, you don't, because you know why? You don't believe it can happen to you. You don't believe you can get the virus. A lot of people don't believe things are real until it happens to them or someone close to them. I've seen so many people, oh, it's not real, it's not real. Then they have a loved one die, or they get infected with it, and then it says, I should have taken it more serious. Take it serious instead of giving it the seriousness and the thought that it deserves in the beginning. Skip, I don't care what anybody says. They can say all they want to. Ain't no 85, 100 kids. You beat a top team, a rival, you're going back to your room. I don't care how serious you're taking it. That's not how they're wired. That's not how 18-year-olds are wired.
So you're saying there's no way college football could play?
Yes, you can play if you bubbleize them. But if you have 50,000 people, if you have your college campus open, and them kids are walking back and forth in the hall. Skip, you're walking, so you're going to social distance? I understand that Clemson was built on a plantation, but you can't space out 60,000 people.
Going to wear masks? You can if you wear a mask, you can do better.
Of course. Yeah. But I was just in Atlanta. I was just in the South. And I saw more people not than... I'm just saying what I saw.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to preface it by saying I work in college football, so this is close to me, but... frankly, I'm worried about the athletes, and I'm worried about the college towns that take a huge financial hit, and I'm worried about the thousands of people that work in football that will not have jobs, like on our TV crew, and we have a problem. I understand the health risks, but the reality right now, it's kind of lose-lose for everyone, and we just have to wait and see what gets decided from those other conferences, guys. No mercy. The Cowboys bolstered their defensive line last night, agreeing to a one-year deal with Everson Griffin. Griffin spent the first 10 years of his career in Minnesota, where he's racked up 74.5 career sacks and made 4 Pro Bowls, including last year. And according to Fox Bet, the Cowboys' win total right now, guys, 9.5. So, Shannon, does this signing change your mind on what the Cowboys' record will be?
It does not, Skip, but I do think he adds quality depth. Now, I don't know how well he's going to play in a 3-4 defense, because I know Mike Nolan very well. He was with me in Denver. He was with me when I went to Baltimore. So he likes to base out of a 3-4, and normally Everson Griffin was a 4-3 DN, a 7-tech. So for me, a 9. But I do think he adds quality depth. You know, now you have Dontari Poe. Now you have D-Law. And you have... McCoy, you add Everson Griffin. So you got some nice pieces now, Skip. You really have a nice rotation that you can run in and out and keep people on their heels. He did make the Pro Bowl. But what's concerning to me is that he was a free agent in March, and here we are in August. So what transpired? What led to him not getting signed? Was his price just too high? Is there some flags that we don't know about? Dallas seemed to got him for a good price, Skip. I think about $6 million, maybe some incentives in there. But the only thing that concerns me is that why did it take so long for him to get signed? Because he's only 32 years of age. And that's not overly old. The NFL has conditioned us to think that 30, if once you reach 30, Skip, you can't do anything else anymore. But no, that ain't going to change their rental. Is that Aaron Donald? That's Von Miller?
You tell me Aaron Donald's the best player in all of football.
Skip, that ain't him. Now, if you got Aaron Donald, I was just Skip, y'all about to win by 12, 13 games, because ain't nobody going to move the ball on you. But y'all didn't sign
it. So you're not moving one inch north of your prediction?
Fox Bet says 9 games. I'm with Fox Bet.
9?
9 games.
Missed the playoffs?
9-7. No, you got lucky. You got that 7th spot.
Really?
They got an extra playoff spot for you.
So you're going to cover your you-know-what by saying, oh, they'll eke in the back door of the playoffs?
Might. But you ain't winning no 11, 12 games. That's not going to happen. If we got a case to do, don't we got a case to do on your double figures? You said double figures. Yeah, you ain't getting no.
I got win the East for sure.
You ain't winning no. So what is Philly? So is Philly dropping out?
They're going to feel like it after they hear that Everson Griffin just signed with the Dallas Cowboys. This was another all-time steal from my Cowboys. I am baffled. I am shocked. They just got a cornerstone right defensive end, a guy coming off another Pro Bowl year, his fourth, for a grand total of $6 million for 1 year in which he's going to play for a big free agent deal, much bigger deal, post, he hopes, pandemic, because the pandemic has hurt some of the free agents. The pandemic hurt him. And by the way, now that they have him, he's going to be the starting right defensive end. And I'm afraid Mike Nolan is basically going to have to abandon any 3-4 thoughts because now you got DeMarcus and you got the bookend, which was Robert Quinn last year, and now it's Everson Griffin.
Right.
For 10 years, every time I turned on a Viking game, he would flash off my screen. Yeah. Big number 97. He was always wreaking havoc. He's big and strong and physical, and he can move, and he can move the pocket, and he can move two blockers. He's a force coming off the right end. I'm not saying he has the quickness of a Von Miller or Charles Haley. He's not Lawrence Taylor. He's just a very solid four-time Pro Bowler who can get double-digit sacks. That they don't grow on trees, man. They don't just fall into your lap for $6 million.
Right, but that's what's concerning, Skip, is because Minnesota, he was there. He played very well in the Zimmer system.
Okay.
And so why didn't they re-sign him? $6 million? So it might be a situation where he was like Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney wanted 20-plus million, and now that's probably creeped down. He'd be lucky to get half that.
Okay.
So maybe that was
he is still unsigned.
He's still unsigned.
Yeah. Okay. In 2018, Everson Griffin checked out for a couple of games to go to a mental health facility because he said, I've just got some issues I have to deal with.
Correct.
He came back last year to start 15 of 16 games, and he's talked openly and honestly about, hey, there's no shame in going to get some help.
No, absolutely
And he got
not.
Some help. Now, did that hurt him on the open market this year? Maybe a little bit. I don't know. But Dallas sat back and waited and got a starter at right defensive end. This doesn't happen in August.
No.
It's outrageous that they were able to sign Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and now Everson Griffin to beef up a very shaky, you know, just turnstile of a defense.
Yeah. And that's the thing, though, Skip. You might be right. They might have to base out of a 4-3 now because D Law is going to start. You're not paying a guy $21 million to stay on the bench.
Yeah.
And Gerald McCoy, if you play a 3-4, that means Gerald McCoy or Dontari Poe, one of them guys is not going to play.
You got too much firepower not to play four across.
Because I know Mike Nolan wants the base out of a 34 defense.
Okay, and Aldon Smith, I think, could turn back into a monster, but I can't guarantee that because he's been out of football for 5 years.
Right.
Our man Jay Glazer has been helping him train, working out with him, and just swears by him. Said, I've never seen anything like the fitness level he is and the strength he has at 6'5", 270, 80 pounds. Right.
Right? That'd be a nice package. Maybe you can bring Aldon Smith in,
him
on the inside, put him at a DT on passing downs.
Maybe.
Pair him with Gerald McCoy, D. Law, and Everson Griffin.
And I've always loved Randy Gregory as a player, but I don't trust him off the field. He can't even get
reinstated yet.
Okay, so it's getting shakier by the moment that he's even going to be in the rotation.
Right.
So we know what they can do on offense. They added CeeDee Lamb on offense, and now they have just beefed up and veteraned up the defense all over the football, and I love their draft picks. I told you, Trevon Diggs, and even that Bradley and I can come off the edge as a rusher. They'll get some pop out of him on some passing downs coming off the edge for one of those guys, even to give them a breather. So this team is shaping up.
How many wins? They beefed up and CeeDee Lamb and all that. How many wins?
I got a real solid 10 wins. I got a real solid win the East over walk it to them. I got real solid. I'm feeling better and better. This is a huge move, and I hope it catches fire today because this is underrated. This does not happen. Where are we in August, whatever it is? In mid-August, this does not happen.
I think we're the 13th. Yeah. 13th,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on, Skip. I'm going to make sure I'm hearing you correct. Now, you just had that compelling open argument, and you just went on this great dissertation, and you only got one more win than me? I got 97.
I got win the East.
Y'all ain't winning no East.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got that. That's all I need to know. How many cases do we have?
You
on
already, hold on. You said that last year. So right now we're 2-2. This is for the winner take all right here.
I told you what happened last year.
No, I know what happened. I know what happened. You lost.
I got carried away. I heaped too much pressure on my team. My team had some issues with Zeke and then some issues with Dak and his contract that will go away this year.
Hold on. You still got issues with Dak and his contract. Yep. That ain't going away.
I'm just hoping Zeke has a bounce back year and that C.D. Lamb is so good and is going to make you look so bad.
So he's going to be Randy Moss?
He's not Randy Moss, but he's going to turn into our number one receiver.
So what y'all about to pay Amari $20 million to be a number two, huh?
Yep. Just to keep him away from Washington.
So what y'all going to pay Dak to keep him away from Washington?
Another $38 million next
year. Nah, he don't want that. He want a long-term deal.
Well, he has no choice in the
Dak wants a quarter of a mil.
He's stuck. We got him 2 years. We got to have one big shot for one big Super Bowl. This may be it, but I don't want to go there yet because I don't want to jinx my team.
You going to jinx them?
Nope, not yet.
Well, I guess I'm
going to stick on 10, my heart is screaming much higher.
No, it ain't. That ain't your heart screaming. Yeah. That's your head saying, don't do it.
No, nope. My heart. Yep.
Don't do it. Well, guess what? You've been jinxing for 25 years. Because they hadn't been to the NFC Championship game, so you've been jinxing them. I don't know what you've been doing, so you need to change that. Mm. Maybe you need to change what you eat. Stop eating grilled chicken and broccoli.
You better be careful.
you've been jinxing them.
Everson Griffin is my starting right defensive end.
Skip, you do this every year. One guy said, you fall in love too quick.
What's not to love about this?
You know that, Jenny, he goes to the party and the first girl is like, hey, Skip. You know, now you booed up for the rest of the night.
I don't do that.
You booed up for the rest of the night.
I used to do that. You might have been right about me once upon a time. Skip,
let the party develop. You can't get there early. The first pretty girl you see, talking about, hey, you with her the whole night. A couple of other diabetes going to come in and you're going to be looking foolish.
I had a couple of those nights.
But now, Emerson Griffin come, and now that's your new thing. Now you're, we go do it.
He's my new boo.
It was Aldis Smith, then it was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, then it was CeeDee Lamb, and now you got to
Emerson Griffin, big old number 97 in Vikings purple, is now in metallic blue and silver.
Okay.
Here we go.
For us.
He has joined America's team where he belonged.
Skip's got a lot of booze these days. Yeah. I like hearing you say booed up, Shannon. Always makes you laugh.
Shannon.
No mercy.
After missing two key free throws down the stretch in a loss to the Clippers, Damian Lillard then dropped 51 in a win to redeem himself on Sunday. And he kept the momentum Tuesday night when he tied his career high 61 points in a win over the Mavericks. The Blazers now have sole possession of the eighth seed in the West. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us this morning. I feel like, Chris, I've learned a lot about Dame this week. What have you learned about Damian Lillard?
Well, Jen, I've always had a lot of respect, great respect for Damian's game, his ability, his toughness, and his heart. And I've always known that if you go at him and challenge him, he will go right back at you. We all remember last year, the back and forth with him and Russell Westbrook, and then Dame hits the game winner from 40 feet over Paul George and had 50 points in that game, too. People kind of forget that because the shot was so great. So I'm not surprised at the way he's responded this week, that he responds to Paul George and Patrick Beverley with a 51-point game, that he responds to his controversy with Skip with a 61-point game. I'm not surprised by that, and I'm not surprised he had the ability to do it, because when you really look at it, this season, Damian Lillard has gone to another level. As great as he's been in the past, he's taken it to another level. He averaged a career-high 30 points a game this year, a career-high 8 assists, which is big because he's never even averaged 7 assists in a season. So for him to go to 8 assists a game is huge. Career-high 46% shooting. Career high 40% from three. So he is really taking his game to the next level. And I've had to look at it and say, you know what? I've always viewed him as a star, but I've never viewed him as a superstar. And thus, I've never held him to the superstar standard. But it's clear from this week and this season that Damian thinks he's a superstar. He's put up superstar numbers and played at a superstar level. And had, you know, some superstar moments, obviously, especially this week. I'm going to start judging him by that level. Okay, so because he's not a superstar, I haven't held him to that highest standard that I hold Steph to and James Harden to. And that superstar level, it's great. It's where I say you're for every year you're going to be all NBA. It's where I say you're on a Hall of Fame track. You're phenomenal. But to get that extra praise, you have to be like an MVP, or you have to lead your team to the championship or very close. Shannon knows this. What they say in church, Shannon? New levels, new devils. And the devils will be, well, your playoff failures now will be magnified. Mm-hmm. Your playoff failures now, people will really highlight those. And Dame, as clutch as he's been, has had them. Skip is not off. I thought he was off yesterday and messing around with his 61-point game. But Skip is right in that last year. He struggled against Golden State. He averaged 22 points. For him, that's low on 36% shooting. The year before, when they got swept by New Orleans, he averaged 18 points on 36% shooting. And I glossed over it. Like, well, that's the level he's at. He's going to be here sometime. Sometimes he's not going to have it. But now I'm taking him to the next level, and he's got to deliver to get that extra praise. We all look at James Harden. Oh, he's phenomenal. He's great. He's one of all-time greats. But we always say, yeah, but, right? But can he win? And to me, Dame has entered that level where it's like, he is awesome, man. He's one of the best in the league. But can he win? Or can, so every year he's got to be either championship or very close for him to get that love, that extra love.
Go ahead. Mm. Go ahead.
You want me to?
Yeah, I want you to go.
Oh, well, you're by the way, what was that reference to Shannon Knows Church? I didn't get that.
Yeah, I go to church. You know, I know the church, man.
I know he grew up there.
Mount Zion, number one missionary Baptist church.
And you quit going when you were eight.
Nah,
right?
No, my grandma would have it that you go to church. So you go to church in the morning.
All right. So this is the Damian Lillard I have experienced over the last couple of weeks. Maybe let's go back to the last month. He is reminding me, weirdly, of Kevin Durant. Chris has been around Kevin. He knows what Kevin, how he's built. They're both extremely thin-skinned. They are both weirdly insecure for how great they are, for their levels of performance, especially Kevin in the past has been so insecure. He's Kevin freaking Durant. And yet both are obsessively concerned about the smallest little criticism from somebody who shouldn't matter. So look what Damian has done to me. He's called me. He's tried to dismiss me and discredit me as a phony and a bozo and a joke because I dared to say, man, you were so unclutch in four straight fourth quarters last year in close games against Golden State when you had them on the ropes with no Kevin Durant. And you didn't come through in any of those four games and won overtime. You basically just disappeared. What happened? And just because I just state a fact publicly, he's going to attack me just the way Kevin has attacked me in the past for reasons I could not reasonably sort of process. Once upon a time, Kevin went after me in the Oklahoma City paper saying I didn't know basketball because I was criticizing Russell Westbrook for taking more shots than the guy I loved, Kevin Durant. And Kevin dismissed me because he didn't want me to sort of wreck their relationship, a relationship that Kevin finally just left and walked away from and walked all the way to Golden State to join forces with the team that obviously they had down 3-1 in the playoffs. So the point is that Damian, like Kevin, can then use his insecurity and lashing back. He says, well, I don't even watch Undisputed, yet he seems to know everything I say on Undisputed. But he fueled, maybe you tell him, but it fueled him now the last couple of games to take it up even another level. And I agree, he's had a sensational year. And yet I need to see more. I keep saying, I didn't see it against Boston in the bubble at the end of the game. And obviously I didn't see it against the Clippers at the end of the game. I didn't see it like you guys saw it at the end of the game the other night because I thought he was shaky and lucky over the last minute and a half of that game. But the point is, what should it matter what I say? Why should he take it so personally? And Kevin does the same thing. Kevin will lash out at the whole media and say, none of y'all know anything about basketball. Really? Well, they just voted you the MVP of the league. Remember that press conference at the All-Star game? What are you doing, Kevin? But Kevin was so fueled that with the weight of the NBA world on his shoulders and getting criticized from all levels and in all directions, he goes to the finals the first year with Golden State against LeBron and outplays LeBron in his house twice in a row, two straight years. Kevin Durant used it to become finals MVP. Man, well, how can you be so thin-skinned and then nothing seems to bother you once the lights are the brightest? And again, maybe Damian will show us this year, maybe against your Lakers, that he will use all this negativity as fuel to take it even a higher level.
Chris, you see what Skip's trying to do? What he the criticism. It's not the smallest criticism. It's the smallest unfair criticism that the players have a problem with Skip Bayless. You find fault. The guy missed one shot. He's dropped 61. And you're going to talk about a shot that he missed. Not the 18 shots that he made. Not the 18 or 18 that he goes from the line. You're going to talk. You won't mention that he has two series game-clinching shots against the Rockets, against OKC. He sent Memphis packing. Mm. But you don't mention that. You talk about
we were just talking about the game the other night, and you called it a virtuoso.
Yes!
And he missed two shots. He back-ironed a three so hard that it went two backboards high and did something that's a billion-to-one shot. It fell through the hoop.
Anthony, did you pull those for me? Is that it? You got to. This way, hey, Chris, I don't normally do this. This is why I would have been a great lawyer. Watch this right here.
Great lawyer. You lost every case on this show.
That's the same type of shot.
What happened? How did that ball go?
Yep.
And it hit the front rim, hit the backboard. Look at this one. Mm-hmm. That had never happened before.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, is it not a billion to one shot?
Well, I guess it's 3 billion to one, because we missed all three of those. Didn't all right.
So that, somebody sent you that on Twitter?
No. Yeah. No, I had to go snooping. I had to go looking. I had to go snooping, Skip. I had to go snooping. Like you said, I got me a researcher and a producer. Steve Owens, he didn't win the Heisman for nothing.
I ask you again, did Damian aim at the back iron? Was that his goal was to hit the back iron and bounce it two backboards high and down through the hoop?
Is that what KD did? Did KD aim at the back iron?
When?
Just then. That was KD shot that one.
Yeah. Well, that was KD. Was that to tie the game that you had to win to get into the playoffs?
No, seriously.
That's to tie the game, and he tied it. Then he comes down with a money shot, a Dame Dalla money shot that's going to at least clinch overtime, and he missed it. I'm sorry he did. And then he goes down and loses his man who makes what's going to be the game-winning shot potentially, and he gets let off the hook by a completely unnecessary offensive foul by Trey Burke, who veers over to him and knocks him down.
And he makes amends for it.
Yeah, and Chris had the audacity to say he took the charge. He didn't take the charge. He's like, lost. What are you talking about?
How about this? He's reminding.
That was a shaky close.
For me, Chris, he's reminding everybody how special he is because it's the bubble, because Portland play a lot of their games late. They play in teams that if you're not really interested in that team, you're not going to pay attention to Portland playing Brooklyn or Portland playing some of these other teams. But because it's the bubble and we've been without basketball for so long, you're getting an opportunity to see just how special this young man is. He goes 51, 61, and since those two missed free throws, he's 33 or 34 from the free throw line. That's 97%. Is that good, Skip? He, Dame Dalla, is a superstar.
Mm. He's so spectacular. Wait, why did the Clippers shame him and ridicule him and clown on him? What time is it? Goodbye. They wouldn't do that to Kevin Durant or LeBron James.
That's
they
what
would
you do
not.
To superstar.
They do not. They would
Here's
not.
The thing. Here's the thing, too, though. Dame has never had, as good as CJ is, Dame has never had that other superstar with him.
Right.
Russ has always had KD or Paul George. You know, Paul George didn't do much till he got with Russ. Well, didn't do much there with Russ either. Now he's got Kawhi as his big brother. So I just think they were able to. Dame hasn't won that much because he hasn't had that second guy.
Right.
Whereas everybody else who's won at a high level, even a Harden who didn't get to the finals yet, or since he's been the leader in Houston, he's always had that second guy, Chris Paul or even Dwight Howard before that. And so
now
Dame hasn't won at the high level, So I think that's why they went at him, because he hasn't really won at a high level.
And but here's the thing, though. But hold on. Pat Bev hadn't won anything either. Neither has Paul George. So I don't know why the hell they're going at him. Now, if Kawhi want to do the dollar sign, okay, I get that. But what the hell has Paul George won? When the last time Paul George been out of the first round? What the hell has Pat Beverly won? Mm-hmm. But my thing is, here's what Skip is trying to do. He's trying to say he wants to devalue Dame again. Well, if Dame doesn't beat the number one seed, see, I told you he's not a superstar. When we very seldom do we see.
Not supposed to.
Wait a second. Shaquille O'Neal's on record. Portland will beat the Lakers. Greg Anthony on record. Portland will beat the Lakers. There's a rising tide of support for superstar Damian Lillard. And now you're saying, give him a break. There's no expectation.
Damian is one superstar going against two.
Oh.
He's going against LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
What about that guy named Carmelo? Everybody still loves Carmelo. Is he not a superstar? Old. Oh, he's old. He doesn't look old to me now.
Not anymore. Huh. The reason we like the way Carmelo's playing is because we don't expect as much anymore. Right. Just like Dwight Howard. Everybody's talking about, oh, Dwight's been so great for the Lakers. 7 points a game. Really? We don't expect anything anymore from Dwight. So if he just gets along with his teammates and plays okay, that's good. That's it with Melo. If he just doesn't cause, any problems in the locker room, doesn't shoot too much, that's good.
And which so team has looked better in the bubble, Portland or Lakers?
We're going to dismiss the entire first 65 games.
Yeah, that's what he did.
7 or 8?
He said that was 6 months ago.
Well, it was 5 months ago. This is a new deal and a sprint to the finish, and it looks like Portland should be the one seed and the Lakers should be the 8. That's how they play.
You feel what I'm saying, Chris?
Well, I'm just telling you. I say what I see.
He's a superstar. I will judge Damian by superstar standards, but it's also fair. And he's going against two superstars. It's one superstar against two superstars. He is not expected to win this series. If he does, phenomenal. But he's not expected to win.
Hold on. When did we proclaim Anthony Davis a superstar?
Oh, stop, please.
Well, when did we? He's won
what? He's a top 6-7 player.
What's he won?
So, but you see, Chris, you see what Skip does?
I don't know.
What's he won? Now, Michael Jordan from 84 to 90, he was a superstar and didn't win anything. You see how you do that? He keep moving the goalposts. Mm. That's all I'm saying, Skip, is that you judge everybody by the same standard. Michael Jordan didn't win anything.
Did Anthony Davis in the playoffs run into the Celtics and the bad boy Pistons? Well, seriously.
But he the GOAT. You tell me GOAT.
He ran into Golden State.
And LeBron James.
And even if you don't want to give AD that, AD is way better than Damian's second best player. And LeBron is better than Dame.
So should this be a sweep?
No, I think it'll go 6.
Well, you told us early on that the Lakers shouldn't have any trouble with Portland. Then you start saying 6 or maybe 7. I don't know.
What did I say? What did I tell you?
You said sweep.
No,
you said sweep.
I said 6 games.
6?
6 games.
I don't remember. I thought early on you just dismissed Portland.
Six
it's
games.
No problem.
See, I said I'll give 6 games.
Games.
6 games.
Well, you've moved what's your goalposts on that one.
No, you moved it.
Come on.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves right now. Let's wait and see what Dame does tonight. Can he keep the streak going?
Yeah.
I'm here for it. We want them to lock it up. Before we move on,
Chris Broussard,
good to have you.
Against Brooklyn?
I have a feeling we're going to continue to talk about this guy in the next coming weeks. No mercy.